By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, I welcome you back to another episode, another morning with Rise and Shine, Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, now each and every single day we always begin by listening to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. And Alhamdulillah, we listen to this along with the Urdu translation. Now, my dear viewers, we have another beautiful topic as to what today's topic is. I'm just thinking, shall I tell you, shall I not tell you? There's always this dilemma. One of the first things when I begin a program, should I tell the audience the topic? Inshallah, you shall find out pretty soon. Inshallah, but nevertheless, Alhamdulillah, we have listened to Surah Al-Fatiha, followed by Surah Al-Baqarah, followed by Surah Ali Imran, and now many views of Madani Channel, we are on Surah An-Nisa, and Alhamdulillah, we are coming towards the end of our first half of this particular Surah. And Alhamdulillah, this is within only a few months. Not that we're reading it fast, no. That's not the purpose of saying only within a few months, many views. But it's only within a few months, meaning consistency, steadfastness. Consistency and steadfastness is key. This is the most important thing, my dear viewers, to remain consistent. MashaAllah, it has been a few months. We have been listening to a small portion of the glorious Quran each and every single day. And, well, not even 5 minutes each and every single day. Alhamdulillah, look where we've come to. We've come to the fifth part from 30 parts of the glorious Quran. We've come to the fifth part. So that, my dear viewers, is the best way to achieve something, to remain consistent, not read so much or listen to so much in one day. You think, you know, you want to try to finish the Quran and you don't do it and then the next day you put off. No, my dear viewers, it's consistency, slowly with steadfastness, regularly. And Alhamdulillah, this is what our deen preaches, what it practices, what it teaches us to practice. My dear viewers, let's listen to the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
یا اہل الكتاب لم تکفرون بآیات اللہ وانتم تشہدون.
اے کتابیوں, اللہ کی آیتوں سے کیوں کفر کرتے ہو حالانکہ تم خود گواہ ہو.
یا اہل الكتاب لم تلبسون الحق بالباطل وتكتمون الحق وانتم تعلمون.
اے کتابیوں, حق میں باطل کیوں ملاتے ہو اور حق کیوں چھپاتے ہو حالانکہ تمہیں خبر ہے.
وقال الطائفة من اہل الكتاب آمنوا بالذی انزل على الذين آمنوا وجه النهار واكفروا آخره لعلهم يرجعون.
اور کتابیوں کا ایک گروہ بولا, وہ جو ایمان والوں پر اترا, صبح کو اس پر ایمان لاؤ اور شام کو منکر ہو جاؤ, شاید وہ پھر جائیں.
وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا لِمَن تَبِعَ دِينَكُمْ قُلْ إِنَّ الْهُدَى هُدَى اللَّهِ أَن يُؤْتَى أحد مثل ما أوتيتم أو يحاجوكم عند ربكم
اور یقین نہ لاؤ مگر اس کا جو تمہارے دین کا پیرو ہے تم فرما دو کہ اللہ ہی کی ہدایت ہدایت ہے یقین کاہے کا نہ لاؤ اس کا کہ کسی کو ملے جیسا تمہیں ملا یا کوئی تم پر حجت لا سکے تمہارے رب کے پاس
قُلْ إِنَّ الْفَضْلَ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ
تم فرما دو کہ فضل تو اللہ ہی کے ہاتھ ہے جسے چاہے دے اور اللہ وسعت والا علم والا ہے
يَخْتَصُّ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ واللہ ذو الفضل العظیم
اپنی رحمت سے خاص کرتا ہے جسے چاہے اور اللہ بڑے فضل والا ہے
ومن اہل الكتاب من ان تأمنہ بقنطار یؤدیہ الیک
اور کتابیوں میں کوئی وہ ہے کہ اگر تو اس کے پاس ایک ڈھیر امانت رکھے تو وہ تجھے ادا کر دے گا
ومنہم من ان تأمنہ بدینار لا یؤدیہ الیک الا ما دمت علیہ قائما
اور ان میں کوئی وہ ہے کہ اگر ایک اشرفی اس کے پاس امانت رکھے تو وہ تجھے پھیر کر نہ دے گا مگر جب تک تو اس کے سر پر کھڑا رہے
ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا لَيْسَ عَلَيْنَا فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ سَبِيلٌ وَيَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ
یہ اس لیے کہ وہ کہتے ہیں کہ ان پڑھوں کے معاملے میں ہم پر کوئی مؤاخذہ نہیں اور اللہ پر جان بوجھ کر جھوٹ باندھتے ہیں
بلا من اوفا بعہده واتقا فإن اللہ يحب المتقین
ہاں کیوں نہیں جس نے اپنا عہد پورا کیا اور پرہیزگاری کی اور بے شک پرہیزگار اللہ کو خوش آتے ہیں
ان الذین یشترون بعہد اللہ وایمانہم ثمنا قلیلا اولئک لا خلاق لهم فی الآخرة ولا یکلمهم اللہ ولا ینظر الیہم یوم القیامة ولا یزکیہم وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ
وہ جو اللہ کے عہد اور اپنی قسموں کے بدلے ذلیل دام لیتے ہیں آخرت میں ان کا کچھ حصہ نہیں اور اللہ نہ ان سے بات کرے نہ ان کی طرف نظر فرمائے قیامت کے دن اور نہ انہیں پاک کرے اور ان کے لیے دردناک عذاب ہے
صدق اللہ العظیم
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم دی ویوز آف بندن انشاءاللہ یو آر واچنگ راز آن شان الحمدللہ عز و جل وی ہیو لسن ٹو دی بیوٹیفل ریسائٹیشن آف دی گلوریس قرآن And it says, my dear viewers, knowledge is power, is what we must understand. This is quite a famous saying. Knowledge is power. Really, indeed, it is. If you wish to gain understanding, if you wish to learn about even the world, whatever it is, everything comes with knowledge. Knowledge strengthens you. It protects you. When it comes to money and other such things, we need to protect our money. We don't go in the streets showing our money to people. Especially large amounts of money. Why? Because somebody may rob us, they may steal that from us, take it from us. But my dear viewers of Madani Channel, knowledge is something which nobody can rob from you, nobody can steal it from you. And knowledge can protect you too. Yes, knowledge does protect a person. I don't know how I got into knowledge, but yes, it's very important for us to read. This is where I came to read, my dear viewers. Read, learn what is in the Quran al-Kareem. We should know the things which are in the Quran. Many people, they always say, oh yes, and that's in the Quran, isn't it? They do not know what's in the Quran, what's in the Hadith Sharif. Yes, I'm not saying everybody should know what's in the Quran, in the entire Hadith Sharif. No, there's so many, my dear viewers. That's separate. The Hadith Sharif is so huge. Yes, read about it. Read the books of Ahadith Sharif. But we must first have an understanding of the glorious Quran. We should at least know what is in the glorious Quran. Before we begin to try to quote the glorious Quran or say that such and such thing is in the Quran when in fact it's not. This is our lack of knowledge. We do not know that Quran, a book which is for me, for you, for all of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which has been granted to the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last and final book, the best of all books. It is the greatest of all books. Yet we've read many other books, we've not read the glorious Quran. We do not understand what is in the glorious Quran. No, this is not today's topic, by the way, my dear viewers. Inshallah, today we shall be speaking about the excellence of halal. Yes, the excellence of those things which are halal, and inshallah a little about haram too, inshallah azzawajal. For something, you know, for us all to learn a little, inshallah azzawajal. After having listened to the glorious Quran, and my dear viewers, let's move on to the narshif of the greatest of all mankind, really. The greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and minds, the most generous and kind, the messenger, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's impossible for there to be another, my dear viewers. He is the last, the final, the greatest of all prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's Khatam al-Nabiyyin. He's the seal of prophethood. Let's listen to the Naat Sharif of this great individual. Sallu alil Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Na koi aap jaisa tha, na koi aap jaisa hai. Koi Yusuf se poochhe Mustafa ka host kaisa hai. Hai jalwa-e jaanana.
Oh.
عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے جلوائے جانانا ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے، جلوائے جانا نا، اے جلوائے جانا نا، اے جلوائے جانا نا.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah Azza Jal. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, today's topic, speaking about halal, speaking about those things which are halal, but we'll speak about the excellence, the importance, the significance of halal itself. That your food is halal, your clothing is halal, your business is halal. And for you to refrain, to abstain from those things which are haram, those things which have been categorically or even inexplicitly it could be, which have been prohibited within the glorious Quran and the Sunnah, the Ahadith Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, it said about Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Who is Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa? He's Imam Azam. He's from the A'imma. The A'imma Arba'a, Hazrat Imam Nu'man bin Thabit Abu Hanifa. There's four. And the first is Hazrat Nu'man bin Thabit Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Who is the first of these, the most senior of the four Imams. He's in a way the teacher of them too. Well, he is the teacher of Hazrat Imam Shafi'i and Hazrat Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. As for Hazrat Imam Shafi'i, he's not a direct teacher of Hazrat Imam Shafi'i, but his student, Hazrat Imam Muhammad, is the teacher of Hazrat Imam Shafi'i. And Hazrat Imam Shafi'i is the teacher of Hazrat Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala an. And Hazrat Imam Azam bin Hanifa radiallahu anhu, he also met Hazrat Imam Malik radiallahu anhu a few times. So in a way, yes, they have learnt from him. They are, you could say, his students. They are his students, my dear viewers. So he's known as Imam Azam, the greatest of the four Imams. Now this individual who's known as Imam Azam, Hazrat Abu Hanifa, so many people across the world know who this individual is. Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, rahimallahu ta'ala. It's mentioned about him, especially about his business, really the business of Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. He was a very rich person. His father was a trader too. He himself was a clothing, he would sell cloth, my dear viewers. He was a cloth trader. But the beauty, the brilliance is, now there are many people out there who are very well off. You know, they would be classed as or considered as rich people. But when we are to look at those people, and if we were to think that these people, okay, they are very, very rich. They're driving the best of cars. They're living in very, very expensive houses. And they're living really luxurious lives. But these people who are living such lives, what is their standard? What is the standard of their business deals in terms of their deen? Their deen, how did they attain this wealth? And we find, and this is something I was just saying the other day, my dear viewers, is there are many people who they even act upon the deen. Let's just say, mashallah, they pray the salah, and this is good. It's not that some people think that, oh, he's, look at him, he does this and now he's praying his namaz. And people think bad. No, you shouldn't think like that. You should think, okay, he does this action which is bad, but why should he stop praying salah too? That's another bad thing. This is two wrongs. This is something which we must understand, my dear viewers, that if somebody was to do something which was wrong, which was evil, which was bad, which was, let's just say it's a sin, somebody which was to do something which was a sin, that doesn't mean he shouldn't do a good deed. If a person was to commit a sin, let's just say a person was to swear, and then that person think, oh, it's namasam, I need to pray my salah. So now he's praying his salah. What's good, we call that good. What's bad, we call that bad. So his swearing was bad. So that's bad. But his salah is not bad. Just because it's read does not mean he should stop praying his salah. No, my dear viewers. He's praying his salah, so maybe inshallah azza wa jal, he shall stop swearing. He should stop swearing. This is what we should say, that this person, he should stop swearing. You know, you should say to him, mashallah, look at you, you're praying your salah. Wow, but you're doing a few things, you know, maybe try to stop these things. Maybe he'll listen and stop these things. But what if, my dear viewers, you were to accuse him that you swear, this is just an example swearing, there could be many other things, that you swear, now you are swearing, why are you praying your salah, and what if that person stops his salah? Now before, yes, swearing is fisq, is something which is wrong, which is bad, which he should refrain from. But now to miss salah, this is haram. If a person misses one salah, his name is written on the doors, the gates of Jahannam, of the fire of hell. So, my dear viewers, you've just made him commit another evil. We should not do such things. Oh, look at this beard, he swears and he's got a beard. I know of so many people who used to keep a beard, but because of what people say to him, or they start to call him Maulvi, and some people feel ashamed, and sometimes they do think, oh, you know, Maulvi, and then speak negatively. And a person ends up now shaving his beard off. Why? Because when he shaves his beard off, now people will call him Maulvi no more, or they'll, you know, they will accuse him of the little things he does. Or Maulvi is doing this, or this person has got a beard and he's doing this. He's got a beard, he's doing that. Although they do it themselves. My dear viewers, why am I speaking about this? The reason I'm speaking about this is something which, something I was saying to somebody the other day is, what I've realized is a lot of people, mashallah, they're practicing in some things they'll be practicing. This is those people who are practicing, others those who are not practicing. But then there's some people who are practicing, but sadly, when it comes to business dealing, many people compromise their own religion. Many people, they compromise their own religion. Where they think because of business, because of this reason, you know, let's miss our salah. It's okay, you know, I'll just miss it once. Allahu Akbar. This is something, my dear viewers, which we need to think about. Or due to business, they'll probably start to sell alcohol. They'll do all of these things which are haram, which are not permissible. And that income which you are going to attain, what will be the state of that income? What effect will that income? Yes, it does affect us. You may think that, okay, let's just say, for example, selling alcohol. Everybody knows that selling alcohol is not permissible. Let's just say I was to sell alcohol, my dear viewers. And I was to sell, I don't know anything about the prices of alcohol, but I'll just take an example. And yes, this will be extortion. Let's just say £100, a lot of money. Now this £100, it's not only that £100. It's not only that I've earned £100 and this £100 is haram, is wrong, the way I've earned it. It's not just that. But it's that money which I have earned, what effect will that have on me? When I'm going to buy something with that money, how that money will affect me? If I'm going to use that same money to buy food for my children, how will that money affect my children? You may think, oh no, I'm just buying some food, that's it, eating it, it's over. No. This affects a person. It affects the mentality, the emotions, it affects the upbringing of a person, the deen of a person. Yes. This affects, it's not only just the food going into his stomach. No. But the effects of it go with it. If a person is eating haram and then he raises his hands and he says, Allahumma. He says, Ya Allah, Allahumma, Ya Allah. And he's doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this person's prayer when his food is haram, his water, his drink is haram, his clothing or whatever it is, it is haram. And then he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, how can his prayers be accepted? And many of us, we complain, we think our prayers are not being accepted, or our prayers are not accepted. We need to ask, what is the reason for this? We need to check something. Sometimes we think, and we're not very, very careful when it comes to these things. If we're going into the bathroom, and it's to be quite dirty, we're not to protect our clothing. Our clothing could gain some sort of specks. Even if it's, let's just say, for example, urine, even if it's a speck of urine, that is going to affect us. It's going to affect in terms of satanic whispers. So whatever we do, my dear viewers, we must refrain from haram. Those things, as soon as, is it jais, is it permissible, or is it not permissible? This is the question. If it's not permissible, forget it. If it's not permissible, forget it. Speak to a proper scholar, a Sunni scholar, and not just anybody who's going to give anybody permission when it's going to benefit them. Nomad views, speak to a proper scholar, ask them, especially when it comes to business. And the reason I got to business is because of the example, I've not even given the example yet. Let us say Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said to one of his, you could say possibly employees, Hazrat Hafs rahimahullah ta'ala. He says to him, now look, there's these clothes. And these clothes have these defects. They have these particular defects. Now go sell these clothes at the market. So he tells them that go sell these clothes at the market. But remember one thing, make sure that whosoever takes a look at these to buy these, make sure you tell them that they have these defects within the clothes. So this person is the Hafs rahimahullah ta'ala, he takes his clothes, he goes to the market, and what does he do? He sells these clothes. And they say, huge, it's not just, I did say like, you know, these clothes, but it was a huge amount of clothes. It was a huge amount of clothes. Now he gives these to him, and that person, he goes and he sells his clothes. Now that person has sold his clothes, and then he returns to the Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He imagined himself, you know, he must be excited, yes, I've sold them all. And as I said, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, now remember, he's told him. He's done his job by telling him that there's such and such a defect in the clothes, just tell those people. As I said, he went, he sold those clothes, he returns to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says, I have sold these clothes. But yet again, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says to him, you've sold the clothes, brilliant. Did you tell them about these defects? He thinks, oh, I forgot to tell them about the defects. Now, my dear viewers of the channel, I'm not speaking of a matter of pounds. Now, I can't remember the exact number. It's not written here, but I read about the exact number some time ago. It's a very, very large amount. It's a very large amount. You can say easily within the thousands of pounds. Let's just say £1,000. This is a person's earning for the day. £1,000. Now, he could say to himself, look, I did my job. He could think to himself, I did my job by telling him, but the rest is on him that he didn't tell them. And those people, they would have looked at it, and then they would have purchased it. So they saw the defect, they didn't say, that's up to those people. But my dear viewers, what did Hazrat Imam Azam, rahimahullah ta'ala, do? All of that, whatever he earned, all of that which was taken, he went and gave it all in charity. He went and gave every single, you could say penny, every single penny, all of it he went and gave in charity. Why? Because of his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to earn even one pence, not to earn even £1, which was haram. That which he considered, although it's Well, whether that's haram or not is another question. But he considered it. It's mentioned that once somebody came and the Imam Azam Bahnifa, he had a rule that he would never praise his own things. For example, if we are going to sell, you know, many people who sell cars, many individuals who sell cars, or they're selling something else, and they praise it, they say, it's like this, it's like that, it's got this, it's recently this has been done on it. And any defect, they will hide it. And they will praise it so much that even if a person didn't generally think it's all that, as you would say, meaning that nice, he would think, wow, is that really that good? Wow, and he would make a person think he's getting out a bargain. He'd be like, you're getting out this price. You know, you're more than lucky, but today I'll give you it. The people, honestly, the way some people speak. But my dear viewers of Madani Channel, in fact, they are deceiving this person. There is a false, again, the example of a car. And I'm not saying everybody does this. No, there are, illa mashallah, as we will say, that there are exceptions. But sadly, the vast majority of people who sell cars, these are the sort of things they do. They praise the car. If it is good, then no, nothing wrong in praising it. But just the Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would have his own rule. That he would never praise his own things. This was his rule. He would never praise his own things. Just the Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, radiallahu anhu, once this person came, you could say, to his shop, and he was looking at, again, cloth. He was looking at various pieces. And he sees one and he says, that cloth up there, you know, let me have a look at that one. The Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, he says to his own son, Abdullah, take a look at that. And he climbs up, he has some sort of ladder. And he climbs up and when he looks at this piece of cloth, he climbs the ladder, and when he takes a look at this piece of cloth, he says, Allahumma salli wa sallim. Abarik ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. He reads the Rushri. The Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radhiallahu anhu, he says to him, leave the cloth there, come back down. And he says to him, I am sorry, but I cannot sell you this cloth. He's thinking, why? He says, the reason being is that I have principles. I have my own rules, my own principles. And my rule is that I do not praise my own things. I do not praise my own things. He didn't praise it. He read the Durood Sharif. So that was the Durood Sharif in astonishment. He was astonished by the beauty of the cloth. He recited, Allahumma salli wa sallim. Wow. Wow. He didn't say wow. It's Allahumma salli wa sallim. It shows the way he said it. It shows astonishment. It shows that this piece of cloth is a good cloth. That person must be thinking that, oh, wow, it must be really good now. This is the way this person reacted. So the Imam Azam Abu Hanifa said, no, I will not sell you this cloth now. Why? Because he was a man of principles. And this is one thing, my dear viewers, monopolizing or bringing about hatred, trying to bring about negative things for other shops. Now remember one thing, please. When it comes to business, please remember one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives sustenance. We must understand this, really. We must understand that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives us all our sustenance. Now if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us our sustenance, if you know this, then you do not need to worry about this person, that person, that person. Or spread rumors of those people, you know, it's a food shop, those people have rats. It's a clothes shop, you know, they sell bad cloth. Look at our cloth is the best. You won't get this there. Well, I know where they buy their cloth from. I know how they do, what it goes through. Whatever the business may be. But this is what people are doing. This is what many people are doing, my dear viewers. This is wrong. This is not permitted. Our deen, and look at, for example, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. He would say to people, just go to that person, he also sells his cloth. Maybe he's seen that person, his shop's not been as busy. So he love for another Muslim brother. This is what it is, my dear viewers. Love for another Islamic brother. where we think this other person, he may not be earning as much, let's help them. We think, no, his competition. We think his competition or she's competition, that's it. They are our arch enemy. This is how we think of it. They are our competition, they are our enemy. That's it. We're not going to allow them to move into this area. You know, we're going to monopolize things. We're going to spread rumors about them. We're going to always speak negative about them. We're going to laugh at them. This is what people think. Then what makes you think that person is your enemy? You are earning, and inshallah you are earning halal. That person is just trying to earn and feed his own children too. Do not think, let's just say it's the same business. What's the harm? What's the harm if you go to some places, let's just say for example selling gold. Some people think, oh, if another person is opening the same type of business, that this is competition, they are our enemy now. Normative views, you go to particular places where you see streets of gold, everybody selling gold. And I would think to myself, wow, imagine how much competition there is here. And I don't just mean, I'm not just talking about 3, 4, 5 shops, my dear viewers. I'm talking about 50, without exaggeration, probably more, an entire area, all of them selling gold. You would think that, you know, if so many people are selling gold, what's your chances of being successful? But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives sustenance. This is what we must understand. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives them all sustenance. Do not ever be in despair. Do not ever be hopeless. Don't ever think that or be despondent that what am I going to do? No. You just do your work. Remain on the path, on the straight path, in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah, you shall gain your wealth, inshallah. We've just gone straight to business today. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers, let's go to our daily reminder, and then inshallah we shall continue. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I'm going to mention to you a few hadiths of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And these hadiths have been mentioned regarding the importance of the rights of people. Hukukul ibad, and the rights of people are very, very important for every Muslim to act upon them as well. The first hadith has been quoted in Sunan Ibn Dawood. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, everything that belongs to a Muslim is haram for another Muslim. His possessions, his honor, his blood, it is enough for a person to be cruel that he considers his Muslim brother inferior to himself. Now what a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam explaining to us the maqam, the status of a Muslim. Now this Muslim, even if he's just a normal lame person, but he is a Muslim, look at the status. I'm the best person, no one is better than me, so and so, he's no better than me, my caste is better than him, our grain is better than him, our village is better, and all these kind of things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, then that person is a cruel person. He thinks of other people as below him. Second hadith, quoted in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, whoever has the burden of slandering or oppressing his brother, it is necessary upon him that he asks the person for forgiveness here in this world before the day of judgment, because neither any dirham nor dinar will be there. If he has some good deeds, they will be taken away from him equal to the violation of rights and given to the victim. Otherwise, the sins of the victim will be transferred into the account of the violator. We find it hard, don't we? We find it hard to go up to someone and say, look, I'm really sorry. I swore at you. I'm really sorry. I hit you. I broke your heart. I said this to you. We find it hard now. But just let me tell you, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, it's going to be very, very hard on the day of judgment to convince that person to forgive us. What will happen? Your good deeds will be given to that person to please him. And if you don't have any good deeds left,
then his bad deeds will be given to you because you are the one who violated his rights. Now, just think to yourself, it was easy going up to someone and saying sorry to him. It's going to be really, really difficult on the day of judgment. So please, don't let the shaitan and your nafs, your ego, come in between you and saying sorry to that person. Just go up to him. That person could be anyone. It could be your little brother. It could be, you know, your student if you are the teacher. If you are the parent, you know, it's better to say sorry to your children if you have violated their rights. Because on the day of judgment, we will never be able to repay them. May Allah Ta'ala give us the true understanding of our beautiful deen. And may Allah Azza wa Jal give us that beautiful character that people not run away from us, but they come close to us. And may Allah Ta'ala give us steadfast on Iman. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi wa Sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم You are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. Now, we're speaking about, yes, business dealing, and I'd like to take the topic a little away from there, just to turn towards those things which are halal, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. But just one quick point, in fact, to mention, is that once Hazrat Ali al-Murtada, karamallahu wajhahu kareem, he was going towards a masjid and he sees a young person. He's standing outside of the masjid and he takes off some sort of robe that he had on and he gives it to this person. He says, look, I'm going to go into the masjid. If you don't mind, can you just hold this for a few moments? I'm going to pray and then I won't be too long and I'll be back. And that person says, okay, I'll hold it for you. Hazrat Ali al-Murtada karamallahu wajhahu kareem, he enters the masjid and he prays some raka'at and then he leaves the masjid. Now when he comes out of the masjid, that young man who said, yes, okay, I'll hold the call for you, he disappeared. And so this is Hazrat Ali al-Murtada karamallahu wajhahu kareem. Really, this is shocking, my dear viewers. The great Hazrat Ali al-Qarrar, it shows that the person possibly wouldn't have recognized him. This is generally what we can assume, that a person he wouldn't have recognized me. It shows the state of such people who live such simple lives. But nevertheless, my dear viewers, Hazrat Ali al-Murtada karamallahu wajhahu kareem is thinking that this person has disappeared. So now, what else can he do? He just continues. And as he's walking, he comes by a place where he sees that same robe or coat or whatever it was that he had, that he sees that same one. He sees that same one is hanging in a shop. And he comes to the shopkeeper and he says to him, where did you get this from? The shopkeeper says, a young man, not long ago, he just came and he sold it to me for 2 dirhams. So Hazrat Ali al-Murtada, radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that he sold it to you for 2 dirhams. He says, yes, 2 dirhams. 2 dirhams, my dear viewers. Hazrat Ali says, subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had 2 dirhams written for him in his destiny. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had 2 dirhams written for this person. Now, I intended that when I come out, because he was holding my robe, I shall give him 2 dirhams. But he has chosen to take it, to steal it, he can say, and to sell it you for 2 dirhams. 2 dirhams were written for this person. It was his choice as to whether he earned them in a halal means, or if he did choose to, earn that in a haram means. My dear viewers, our destiny, whatever we shall earn, this has been written. It is up to us as to how we attain that, how we earn this. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, the famous Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmallahu ta'ala, in his Ihya al-Ulum, in regards to halal food, what does he say? He says that when a Muslim eats the first morsel, the first, you could say, bite, the first morsel of his halal food, his food is halal. When a Muslim eats the first morsel, his previous sins are forgiven. So imagine this. You're talking about eating haram and consuming haram and the effect that haram is going to have upon you, upon your children, how they are going to be brought up. Do you think if a person has been brought up upon haram, that he will be praying his salah, that he will be committing good actions, he will be reading the Quran? My dear viewers, if a person is brought upon haram, that's all he can expect, is haram actions, haram things coming from him. This is Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala. He says when a person takes his first morsel, only his first morsel of halal, pure food, then all of his previous sins are forgiven. Allahu Akbar. And whenever it mentions any narration in regards to all of a person's sins being forgiven, it refers to minor sins. We must understand this. Major sins, we must feel bad about, we must repent for those. And there are some things which there's nothing is going to make up for them until a person performs a particular action. He must do something about it. For example, if a person misses fasts, he can't think to himself, oh no, I've done tawbah, I've repented, that's it, and I'll be forgiven, I don't need to do nothing. No, he still must make up for those fasts. If a person misses his salah, he still must make up for all those salah he has missed. There is no such thing as somebody forgiving your salah. No, my dear viewers. No. We must make up our salah. Some people think, oh, I've done this, now my salah has been forgiven, all of my previous prayers, I don't have to make up for them. Astaghfirullah. And sometimes such people, they say that if you do this, then you don't need to make up for all your prayers. Those people really need to repent and really need to think about the things they teach others. All they're doing is spreading dissension. They're just spreading the fitna. This is all they're doing. As I was saying, there's no such thing. There are things which only repentance itself is not sufficient. If you owe a person money, it doesn't mean, oh, I've repented, or I've been to Hajj, all my sins are forgiven, now I don't need to repay this person. No, my dear viewers. If you owe somebody money, you must repay them. So there are some things which are not just forgiven, like that. But in regards to when it mentions, in, for example, the Ahadith Sharif, a person's sins being forgiven, it refers to minor sins. That when a person takes the first morsel, Imam Ghazali rahmallahu ta'ala says that his previous sins are forgiven. Just imagine this though. You are constantly sinning day and night. But if you just to eat halal, those sins which we perform, Allahu Akbar, are forgiven, according to Hazrat Imam Ghazali in his Ihya al-Ulum. And then he says that the person, Allahu Akbar, that the person who goes to a place of humiliation, a place where people will say things, where people will point fingers at him, will say things to him, he will be humiliated. A person who goes to a place of humiliation in search of halal, in search of halal sustenance, where other things he thinks, I can't find nothing which is halal. But if I do this job, and some people may humiliate me. Let's just say, for example, it's cleaning toilets. Let's just say somebody, he thinks that, you know, there's nothing else I could do, and the options which are there are those options which are haram. I don't wish to earn a haram income. I wish for my income to be halal. And some people may think that, you know, I was such a person, I was living such a life, and now I'm doing cleaning toilets. Now, remember one thing, I do not look down at such people who, let's just say, for example, they're cleaning toilets. No. Whatever job it may be, as long as it's halal, alhamdulillah, really. It's better than those people who may be living luxurious lives and they may be selling drugs or selling alcohol or whatever they're doing. Alhamdulillah. As long as what you are doing, you are earning halal, Alhamdulillah, that's the best of things you can do. But there will be some people who will try to humiliate them. Who will try to humiliate them. And my dear viewers, if one is in such a situation, then what is its state? Is it Imam Ghazali rahmallahu ta'ala says, the person who goes to a place of humiliation in search of halal sustenance, his sins fall like the leaves fall of a tree. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers of Manishan, really, those things which are halal should be our only option. It shouldn't be, oh, okay, this is halal, this is haram, what do you think? No. If you know something is haram, end of story. Forget it. Let's say it finishes there. There's no, oh, this is halal, this is haram. What do you think? Do you think I should do it? Oh, I feel bad, it is haram. But you know, there'll be a lot more money in this. No, my dear viewers, we shouldn't even think like that. We should think halal, alhamdulillah. Haram, no, we're refraining from it. Which are our halal options? Whatever we think is best, go with that. But always, always stay steadfast, inshallah. Remain patient. Remain patient on those things, my dear viewers, which are halal. Why? Because there's barakah in halal. There are many people, again, let's just take drug dealers for another example. And inshallah, we are going to move to our daily hadith because we have, mashallah, a beautiful guest who shall be joining us today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Now, my dear viewers, as I was saying, there's barakah in halal. What do we mean by there being barakah in halal? What do we mean by this? There being barakah in halal. Have you ever wondered many times what happens is a person can eat 10 chapatis, is not full. He thinks, oh, I didn't feel that much. You think you've eaten so much. Let's just pick a loaf of bread. He has to have 5 pieces. And he still thinks, oh, I'm not that full. Another person, he'll have 1 piece. And he says, alhamdulillah. Why? There is barakah in that 1 piece. In halal things, there is barakah. And if you see, for example, people who are drug dealers, they earn money very, very fast. Have you seen how they spend that money? That money goes very quickly too. There's no barakah in that money. They think, Allahu Akbar, they treat it like nothing. And you know, to them, it probably is nothing. But then later, they are regretting it. That, wow, I had so much money, now I've got nothing. In halal things, there is barakah. Please do remember this. That yes, you may be earning less, but inshallah, there's more barakah in that. That less will take you much further. That less will take you much further than it is doing with other people. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because it's halal. There's barakah in those things which are halal. But if it was, let's move to our daily hadith sharif. And then inshallah, hopefully we shall have our guest. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, no doubt calling towards righteousness is a tremendous form of worship and a means to attain countless good deeds. Inshallah ta'ala, in today's daily hadith, we will hear about such an individual whose reward is unimaginable. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam say that the Mu'adhinun will have the longest necks on the Day of Judgment. Meaning the Mu'adhinun are those people who call out the Adhan, who invite the people for the Salah. Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi alayhi rahmah states that the long necks here has been used as a metaphor, has figuratively been used to illustrate the fact that the Mu'adhinun will have a superior rank and a status on the Day of Judgment. In light of another hadith, it is mentioned that whoever gives Adhan for 7 years, freedom of hell is recorded for him. And replying to the Adhan also has countless blessings and a great blessing to those who hear the Adhan being called out and reply to it. They can assure themselves with the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take heed that when the Mu'azzin says, Hayya ala salah, we leave all our tasks and we head towards the masjid to perform our salah with jama'ah. Ameen, bijahi Nabi al-Ameen, sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, our program is just to get better, mashallah. We have our respected Usman Madani Sahib from Malawi, Central Africa, joining us. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Usman bhai, how are you?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. How are you, Shabazz bhai?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Allahu Akbar. Usman bhai, today's topic is halal sustenance.
Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with the treasure of Iman. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has blessed us with the opportunity and the privilege of being as the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So the ni'mat, the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are definitely uncountable. We can never comprehend the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. And this is also something known and very obvious that no matter what we do, we can never pay back for those favors and ni'mat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. However, what is an oversight to do as a shukrana, as thanksgiving for these ni'mat and blessings, is that we abide by the commandments of Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And amongst the foremost, the essential rulings and the essential commandments for a Muslim is that a person does halal, sees halal, eats halal. He should make sure that whatever he eats is halal, whatever he sees is halal, whatever he wears is halal. Basically, the income has to be halal, because if there is even a grain of any haram income in anybody's sustenance or earning, so he is not only affecting his one-time meal or something, he will purchase clothes with that money. So what he's wearing is haram. What he's eating is haram. Where he's living is haram. Where he's sitting is haram. Then how can such a person expect that his life can be filled with prosperity, with happiness, with joy? You know, then we see complaints like, no matter what I do, no matter the salahs I read, no matter how much I worship, no matter how much zikr I do, my heart does not get at peace. That's because you are trying to drive the car without an engine. Your everything was wrong. Your roots were wrong. Your whatever you did was wrong. And now how can we expect the flavors to come about? Because if we eat halal, if we dress halal, then only our ibadat will feel sweet to us. We will feel that contentment in our heart. And then it affects those around us as well. Our friend circles, our family circles, the children. If a person who is not conscious about earning halal, he has children. So what is he feeding his children? Like, you know, we should stop for a moment. And this I'm addressing to, you know, all the viewers of Madani Channel, myself, yourself, everyone who is watching us, that a person who is doing a business which deals around with interest money, which deals around with maybe selling prohibited items or selling things, because it's not that you sell something which is prohibited or you're dealing with interest, then only your rozi can be, your income can be haram. There are many other factors such as lying. You are saying that this thing is for this much. Wallahi, my cost price is, you know, 10 pounds. But actually your cost price was 5 pounds. So you are not fooling the customer, you're actually fooling yourself. So the food you are feeding to your children is also haram. Allahu Akbar. You know, we should think for a moment. So what is needed is that as a shukrana to the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we think about this and we only and only earn halal, eat halal, see halal and live halal, inshallah.
Inshallah, Azza, mashallah, Mawlana Usman Sahib. Now, Usman Sahib, I was saying that you are in Malawi, Central Africa. Now, whenever I say Malawi, I have to say Central Africa now. Allahu Akbar. But whenever you are in, subhanAllah, you are amongst various people. There will be some people who will be very, very rich, other people who will be very, very poor. And you see, you know, many people, Usman bhai. And from amongst them, there'll be, alhamdulillah, Muslims who are practicing even from the rich. Muslims who are practicing or not practicing even from the poor. Now, I was speaking about something known as barakah. We were saying that, you know, barakah is something where it takes you, it gives you much more, although with less. With less quantity, but there's so much more for us in it. This is with something with barakah in it. So for example, if it was a piece of roti, and if it was to be, there was to be a barakah in the roti, 2-3 people, will that roti will suffice for 2 or 3 people. But as if there's no barakah, then there'll be so much with one person, it will not suffice for him. Now, living in such a place, is there any such examples, anything you've experienced, you've seen, that, you know, there are some people who are living on so less, but yet they are satisfied, yet they are happy. Happiness is another thing. Satisfaction. People think only with wealth will I be happy, or you know, I'm never been happy. Look at these people; they're so happy. They have all this wealth. This is how some people think. They think that wealth is the central, you could say, the focus towards happiness.
Savas bhai, I think in the world currently there is no one more wealthier or rich than Firaun, than Karun. So what happened with those people? So, you know, what the point you are making is a very important point which we have to understand, that it is not quantity which counts, it is the quality which counts. That it does not matter even if we have millions and billions. We have seen, you know, I have seen also myself, that they're millionaires, billionaires. They have, you know, cars, luxury houses, rental incomes, and so many properties and everything. But, you know, a poor man is able to have a nice chicken tikka, and that, you know, poor man is on glucose drips and everything while he has millions in his bank account. So who is rich in real sense? That person is rich who is at least able to be happy and feel happy, be content with what he has. You know, we have seen many people who have big, big incomes. And, you know, when the month comes near to 17th, 18th, 20th years, these people do not have anything in their pockets. But we have seen such people who have low income, but halal income, and they're happy with it. They make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They, out of that little income also, they're able to, you know, take out something for savings also. And mashallah, they're happy, they're relaxed. You know, zada maal, zada wabal. The more money you have, the more headache you have. And this headache is only about
the dunya. That's famous in English too.
About the headache on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all.
Allahumma ameen. Yes, it's very famous in English. More money, more problems. This is what it said. More money, more problems, which is the truth. But nevertheless, my dear viewers, no harm in more money as long as it's halal money. This is what we must understand. We're not against making more money. No, there's nothing wrong with it. Alhamdulillah, we gave the example of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, who was very, very rich. Imagine Uthman ibn Affan radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Allahu Akbar. So this, my dear viewers, is what's important for there to be halal sustenance. Uthman, by any last words, anything else you would like to share?
We should always be thankful to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We should learn about the virtues of earning halal and the harms of earning haram. One of the causes of getting into haram is greed for wealth and greed for money. So once we become thankful servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we appreciate what Allah ta'ala has given us, and with the barakat of being grateful servants, inshallah, Allah ta'ala will bless us with much more. As Allah ta'ala says, you thank me, I shall give you more. So let's be thankful servants and avoid haram, inshallah ta'ala.
Subhanallah, mashallah, jazakallahu khair. And honestly, greed is the worst thing. Because when a person is greedy, no matter how much he has, he still wants more. He's just never satisfied with what he has. Really, my dear viewers, a person who's greedy, honestly, may Allah ta'ala protect us from greed. That this is one of the worst things you can ever have, greed. And honestly, I've seen people, Usman bhai, they are very rich. They are miserly, they won't spend the money, but yet they'll do anything for more money. Allahu Akbar, may Allah Ta'ala protect us from such people. inshallah azza wa jal. May Allah ta'ala protect us from greed. Jazakallahu khaira for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you inshallah azza wa jal. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
My dear viewers of Madani, inshallah, that was our respected Maulana Osman Madani Sahib from Malawi, Central Africa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. MashaAllah has given us time. We do, for those kids that are still watching, although the kids of Malawi, possibly all of them, maybe some of them are watching, but they are not with us. But alhamdulillah, for the rest of the kids who are still at home, who are still watching Rise and Shine, we have a package for them. Let's take a look at this. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Dear children, the story which we are going to tell you today, its name is Greedy Mouse. One mouse saw a basket of vegetables in a kitchen. It was hungry, hence he made a hole in the basket with the help of his sharp teeth. Once he was able to make a small hole, he went inside the basket through that way. As soon as he went inside, he saw potatoes, tomatoes, peas, and carrots. He started thinking, wow, I will really enjoy eating all these vegetables. Why not I should finish all of them today? Well, what happened? He attacked all the vegetables. When he got full stomach, then he intended to go back. He went to the hole which he had created. As soon as he tried to go out from that small hole, but alas, he couldn't go out. The reason he was not able to get out from that hole as his belly had become bigger because of eating too much food. Now he started crying in panic. A pigeon came there. It went closer to the mouse and asked, "Oh my friend, how did you get in?" The mouse replied while crying, "Oh dear, I came to eat food here, but after that I couldn't come out. And I'm trapped here." The pigeon said, "Actually, you have eaten too much food. That's why your belly has become bigger. Now you should wait until your belly becomes normal." After saying this, the pigeon left. All of a sudden, a cat came from somewhere. The cat saw a mouse in the basket, instantly attacked and hunted the mouse. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, says that you should abstain from eating full stomach because it destroys your body, creates illnesses, and makes you lazy for salah. And it is compulsory on you to be moderate in eating because it doesn't only correct your body but also protects you from being extravagant.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. MashaAllah, that was the kids package. Allahu Akbar. Now, within the glorious Quran, we have been ordered. This is an order within the glorious Quran. وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. We have been ordered, and the translation from Kanz al-Iman is, eat from the sustenance which Allah has given to you. Halalan tayyiban, the lawful and the pure. The lawful and the pure sustenance which has been granted to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have been ordered to eat from that. Similarly, in another verse of the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, it states, Ya ayyuhan nas, that all mankind, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiban. Again, Allahu Akbar, eat from what is lawful and pure in the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, you know, whether that be vegetables, but so many things. For some reason we have this mindset that there's more haram foods than halal foods. No, my dear viewers, it's not like that, really. But we think that. I don't know why we think that. Possibly because our inclination is more towards those things which are haram. Maybe you think, oh, we see these people eating it, and them people, but non-Muslims, they're always eating haram things. So then we think, oh, we're not allowed that. Oh, this, we're not allowed that. This, oh, we're not allowed that too. So we think, oh, well, what can we have then? There are so many more things which are halal, alhamdulillah. And if it was us all for today, inshallah, we shall be returning tomorrow if Allah Ta'ala wishes. But continue to watch Madani channel and continue to send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.